Tonight we're going to look at an event in the life of Peter once again. Completely the opposite to the blessed event we saw this morning, but nonetheless important for us. Acts chapter number 12. Why don't we begin with verses 1 to 6 and then we'll pray. Acts chapter number 12. Please follow along with me as I read and we look at these verses together. Acts 12, verses 1 to 6. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, every verse has a special truth for us. Lord, we thank you that your word tonight is given to us to instruct us, to exhort us, to equip us, dear God. Lord, to fulfill all righteousness according to your will. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to see the truths within. And Lord, may we put them down into our lives so that we may experience the peace and the joy that you have planned for us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, this evening we see an event completely the opposite to the event we saw this morning. This morning we were in Acts chapter 10 where Peter was called of the Lord to go and meet Cornelius, a Roman centurion who was interested in hearing more. And then before him he found a whole household of people that wanted to get saved. Now that must have been one of the most exciting events of Peter's life, as he found that not only would the gospel go to the Jews, the Samaritans, but now to the Gentiles. Now he took that wonderful news in chapter 11 back to Jerusalem, back to share with his brethren, explaining to them that the gospel would now go to the Gentiles. But in Acts chapter 12, suddenly the next persecution came Peter's way. The Bible tells us in verse 1 that Herod the king began to vex or to violently attack the church. What did he do? Well, the Bible says in verse 2 that he killed the apostle James. And then he went after Peter. Having captured Peter, Herod decided to kill him also, but kept him in prison until the feast of the Passover was over. But Peter was just a dead man waiting for his execution. He was on death row, if you will. That's where Peter was. Now, the Bible gives us some details about his captivity, because remember, Peter and John had escaped before, hadn't they? Do you remember how they had escaped before? They were in the prison and the angel of the Lord came and set them loose and they walked free. So this time the authorities were not going to take any chances. Now, the Bible says that Peter was confined in what we would describe as maximum security confinement. See, normally the prisoner's right hand would be chained to the left hand of the guard. Now, this time, double precautions were taken because both his hands were chained to two soldiers. And there was no way that Peter was going to get out of this one, physically speaking. Then also, the Bible tells us of another two soldiers there in verse number 6 that were outside the prison doors. And they were keeping guard, protecting the gate to the prison. So two outside, two inside. How many of you can figure out Peter's not going anywhere? Peter's not going anywhere. And the night that Herod would have called for Peter to be brought out and to be executed, a miraculous event took place. But before we look at the events that unfolded, notice what the Bible tells us in verse 6. Who can tell me this evening, what was Peter doing the moments before his intended execution? He was sleeping. Now, that definitely we believe he was praying too. But the Bible tells us that he was sleeping. Can you see that in verse 6? He was sleeping between the two soldiers. Now, just think about that for a moment. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes my worries keep me up at night. And they're not worries, and they're not worries where I think I'm going to be executed any moment. You know, they're just worries, fears, concerns, doubts, you know, thoughts in the night. And, you know, isn't it true, brethren, that it only takes a little thing to keep us up oftentimes. A little concern or a little dilemma. Oftentimes what we had made up entirely in our minds, yet it just keeps us awake. But here is Peter, moments away from his intended execution, and he's fast asleep. In fact, as we'll see later on in verse 7, when the angel of the Lord came upon him and a light shined in the prison, the angel of the Lord had to whack Peter, smite him on the side to wake him up. What does that tell you? Well, he wasn't just asleep. He was in deep sleep. He was resting. And there's nothing hidden in the scriptures for us tonight to reveal to us that Peter was sleeping in complete peace in his heart, regardless of the circumstances he found himself in. Now, this is an amazing thing. This is an amazing thing that God reveals in his word for a reason. Not just for the deliverance, but the peace of God that Peter had in the prison. So tonight our message is entitled, Peace in the Prison Cell. Tonight the Lord wants to help us to take hold of the peace he has for us, regardless of what situation we find ourselves in. Well, what are some things we see? Well, first of all, notice that Peter had peace with God. How do we know that he had peace with God? Well, who was Peter? Was he a believer? Matthew chapter 16. Let's look at Peter's profession of faith. Matthew chapter 16. You see, you cannot have the peace of God without first having made peace with God. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 16. Here we see Peter reveal what he believes in his heart about the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16. Thank you for turning there. Notice verses 13 to 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, the Lord asked his disciples and Peter a question. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you can imagine the words just coming out of Peter. What was he doing? Well, he was simply revealing what was already in his heart. The Bible says in the book of Romans, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So with his confession, Peter was revealing what was already in his heart. He believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Whereas some may have just believed he was a great teacher, or some may have just believed he was another prophet or a prophet returned, Peter had seen too much and heard too much to doubt whether this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was the Christ. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, many times Peter put his foot in his mouth, but this time he didn't. This time he wasn't speaking in the flesh, he was speaking in the Spirit of God. And he made a wonderful confession of faith, revealing to us in the Word of God what he really believed. You see, Peter, don't miss it, he had made a decision to personally trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. He received the Lord as his personal Savior. He believed in whom Christ declared himself to be, the Son of the living God. And one of the reasons why Peter was sleeping peacefully in the prison cell, though he was about to face death, is because he had made peace with God. He had made peace with God. You see, you and I cannot experience any measure of peace within until we have made peace with God. You might say, Pastor, well, what does that mean? You see, we are born sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. There is a great division between mankind and God. We are not at peace with God. The Bible tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And so you see, there is a great division. But thank God, in his love, he made a way to bridge the gap. He is the one who made a way so that you and I can be forgiven and experience peace with God. Notice with me in your Bibles, let's have a look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Why was Peter sleeping? Well, he had peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Let's read verse 1 on 2, shall we? Out loud. 1, 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So did Peter have peace with God? Yes or no? Yes, he did. That's why he was asleep, because you see, the Messiah was right before him, and he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation, and he knew that no matter what happened, his salvation was secure. He had made peace with God. So even though he wasn't in a very peaceful situation, nothing compared to the fact that he had made peace with God. His salvation was sure. His eternity was secure. And in fact, if his life was taken right there and then, it simply was, as the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He knew that death would be the first step into an eternal blessing with the Lord in the heavens to come. You see, he had made peace with God. And friend, there is no rest. There is no comfort for the soul that has not made peace with God. Let me ask you this morning, have you made peace with God? Now let me say this, you ought to know. You ought to know. The Bible tells us that if you have received Christ as Savior, there will be a peace in your heart that the world never gave, as we've sung before in our hymns, and which the world cannot take away. When was that time that you chose to, like Peter, repent of your sins and personally receive Christ as your Savior? Was there a time? Now, understand that everyone can pray a prayer and ask Jesus to save them, but not everyone perhaps has the peace of God in their hearts this evening. You see, the Bible tells us that once we receive Christ the Savior, we will experience that supernatural peace, that supernatural comfort. Some explain it as a load being lifted off your shoulders. Some explain it as a wonderful joy in our hearts. The Bible says that the peace of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. Once he enters in, we experience that wonderful peace with God. I didn't have peace. I didn't have peace, no matter how many times that I prayed, no matter how many times, as sincere I was not saved. You see, sincerity is not enough. Sincerity is not enough. We need to know for sure that we've been saved. Amen. The Bible says that God wants us to know. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Let me ask you this evening, do you have peace with God? Have you made peace with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? I trust that you have. If there is a doubt this evening and you don't have peace, you're restless and perhaps you've been trying to push that question down and hoping that it won't come back up, but it does every time you hear the preaching and you're trying to push it down like I used to before I was saved. Let me encourage you to let it up. Amen? Stop suppressing it. Talk to someone tonight about how you can be sure of eternal life. Now, if you are a Christian tonight, if you have made peace with God, let me encourage you to remember that in times of trial, amen, if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. In times of trial, in times of difficulty, let's not lose sight of how great a salvation we have, amen. And let's not pretend that God is now dealing with us because something bad is happening in our life as if we were lost. The Bible tells us that if we have received Jesus Christ, we are now accepted in the Beloved. We are now a child of God. We have been transported from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Yes, we will experience trials, but God no longer deals with us as a lost reprobate. You know, the verses about the wicked and the unrighteous in the book of Proverbs, they don't apply to us. There are principles there we can apply to our lives, but we are not the wicked.
Amen?
Amen? We are the righteous in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have His righteousness. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Justification is the instantaneous act of God. He does it. Whereupon, when we repent and receive Christ as our Savior, He justifies us. What does that mean? It's like being in a courtroom. We are as guilty as sin, and the judge says, because you've received the payment of the advocate, Jesus Christ, you are now declared innocent. Not just in that moment, but forever. Amen? The work of justification is God's miraculous work, making us righteous in Jesus Christ. That is our position as believers in Christ. It's not always our practice. We do continue to sin. But believer, understand, we're just like Thomas. When we are in unbelief, when we sin, the Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brethren, if we have peace with God, that continues forever. Amen? We shouldn't doubt it. So often we have unrest in our hearts as Christians because so easily we forget to put on the helmet of salvation. Doesn't mean you get saved every day putting on the armor of God. You remember that I'm saved. He saved me. That's a promise of God. I put that helmet on and whatever attack comes my way, my most sensitive part of my body is protected. The helmet of salvation. You know, so often there are doubts that come our way. Not regarding salvation necessarily, but just attacks and thoughts. You know, how can God love me if I'm in prison like this? Peter could have faced that dilemma. How can God love me if this is happening to me? I thought God loved me. How could He let this happen? Well, you see, having made peace with God, we should never doubt the love of God. It's like saying to a parent, well, you know, does my father really love me? Does my mother really love me? Well, you're their child. Though they may have to correct you, it doesn't mean they don't love you anymore. They continue to love you, but we need correction at times. And the Bible tells us that God is our Heavenly Father, and that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Friend, do you have peace with God? Have you made peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ? If you have, let me encourage you, our salvation is the greatest source of comfort for the believer. Amen? If we are secure, if our salvation is sure, that is the greatest comfort, knowing for sure, being sure that we've made peace with God. That's what He does when we come to Jesus Christ. Well, Peter had peace with God. Notice, because he had peace with God, he had the peace of God. Now, the Bible tells us that Peter, back in Acts chapter 12, if we turn back there, was undisturbed, he was unmoved, and he was asleep. Now, remember, some disturbing things had just happened. Some really grievous, heartbreaking events had just happened. Let's not miss the fact that the Apostle James was just killed. He was killed with the sword. The Bible tells us that Peter was now in prison facing the same consequence. There was no hope of escape that was possible in the flesh. And yet Peter was asleep. Peter was asleep. Now, another reason why Peter was asleep and had great peace in this current situation was because he had the peace of God. He had the peace of God. He had the peace of God, knowing that he was in the center of God's perfect will. Now, do you remember back in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9? The Lord said to Peter in his calling, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Now, was Peter doing what the Lord had called him to do? Yes or no? He was. He was preaching the gospel. He was reaching the lost. He was reaching out to the Jews, the Samaritans, to the Romans, to the Gentiles. He was serving the Lord faithfully, and suddenly he found himself in prison. And I believe that Peter had the peace of God in his heart because, pretty simply, he knew he was right where God wanted him to be. He was doing what God wanted him to do, and so whatever came at him, or whatever experience or trial he found himself in, he knew, well, that must be God's will as well. Amen. Though it wasn't pleasant, though it was grievous, though it was very dark and frightening, he knew that he was in the center of God's will. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 tells us, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And I believe Peter knew that in his heart. He knew that he was simply doing what God had called him to do. And therefore, when the difficulty came, the trial came, he could be at rest. Now, understand, was Peter at rest because of the circumstances? Yes or no? No, not because of the circumstances. I mean, who would sleep in prison, knowing that any moment you would hear the footsteps down the hall or down the stairs, the guards coming to fetch you, you're chained hand in hand to two Roman soldiers, two are outside the door. Death is imminent. I mean, who would sleep in that situation, in those circumstances? So he wasn't asleep because of the circumstances, but he was asleep because of his faith. Amen? His faith in the Lord. He was trusting that he was in the center of God's will, so therefore God was in control, and therefore there was nothing to be afraid of. So much so that he was knocked out. He was knocked out. He was asleep, sound asleep. You see, that's where Peter was, in the prison, in a place where perhaps we may sleep if we had the same peace. And that's what God has called us to enjoy as Christians. He wants us to know this supernatural peace, a peace that passeth all understanding. That you and I won't experience that peace because of our circumstances. So often the only time that we experience rest and comfort and peace in the Christian life is when everything is going well. We say, "Oh, everything is very peaceful at the moment." And as soon as something changes or everything turns around, life is an absolute disaster. It's a mess. Brethren, that is not the Christian life that God has planned for us. He has given to us not only a peace with God that is the greatest comfort of our lives, but right here during this earthly journey of faith, God has given us peace, the peace of God, the peace of God, the Word of God, encouraging us to trust in the Lord no matter what the circumstances are. And God wants us to know the peace of being in His will. The peace of being in His will. Now, Peter was in the will of God. And we need to ask ourselves, well, am I in the will of God? If you go out door knocking, are you in the will of God? Yes, you are. You're being a witness. So when you're accused, when you're persecuted, when people slander you, say nasty things to you, when you go out to witness to anyone, are you in the will of God? Yes. So you can hide yourself in Christ and you say, well, that means I've done the right thing. I've got nothing to worry about, fear. And in fact, God is pleased with me. God was pleased with Peter. God wasn't punishing Peter for doing something wrong. Can you see what we're looking at tonight? And so why do you and I automatically feel guilty when we face a problem in life and we say, well, God is punishing me? Well, the question is, are we doing what God wants us to do? Do we remember His love? And are we in the will of God? Are we serving Him as we ought to? Well, Peter was. And so he had that peace in his heart. He had that peace in his heart. Now, Peter wasn't perfect, but he had the peace of God. And friends, that is found in God's perfect will. He knew that God was fully in control, and he was exactly where God wanted him to be. That was Peter, and that's why he was at rest. And let me encourage you to enjoy the peace of God, being in his will, doing what he wants us to do for our lives. You see, there is an unrest outside of the will of God, an unrest, a discomfort. You know, something's missing. You know, you may have the best job in the world. You may have every luxury at your fingertips, young people, one day, because you chased after your dreams and your goals. But guess what won't be there? The one thing that makes all the difference in the Christian life, the peace of God. The peace of God. Many young people have chased down the golden road to the path of riches, popularity. Whatever you're dreaming of, if it's outside of the will of God, you won't have peace as a believer. You won't have rest. There will be a continual sorrow in your heart and a longing that is designed and implanted by God to draw you back to himself. That's the love of God. But you see, Peter wasn't in that place. Now, if you need to be drawn back to the Lord tonight and God is doing that work, let me encourage you to let it go. Whatever it is that is keeping you back from the Lord. Because you see, trials will come. Trials will come. And the Bible shows us here very clearly this evening that we can enjoy a peace in the trials, in the difficulties, that passeth all understanding. He was in the center of God's perfect will. He was also trusting in the promises of God. Well, how do we know that? Well, remember, before the Lord ascended, remember how he met the disciples at the Sea of Galilee, and he spoke to Peter personally, and he revealed to Peter a special promise of how Peter's life will end. John chapter 21 and verse 18. The Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." So here the Lord Jesus Christ gives Peter a prophecy, if you will, foretelling how Peter will eventually die. He will die as a martyr. And we know that Peter was crucified upside down. His hands were stretched forth. But the Bible says that eventually Peter would be put to death. But when he would be old, that's when he would die. That's when he would be martyred. Now, one of the reasons I believe that Peter had peace in the prison cell is because he was trusting in what the Lord had said. He was trusting in God's promise to him. I believe he had complete peace because he thought to himself, well, I'm not going to die now. I can sleep soundly because this is not the way the Lord had said things would happen. And the lesson for us to learn is that we too have God's word, the wonderful words of life, full of the promises of the word of God to comfort us in times of difficulty, to comfort us in times of trial. Now, you might say, well, the Lord told that to Peter, so obviously he had peace. Obviously he slept well. But how does that apply to me? Well, you see, the Bible has given us exceedingly precious promises that we can be partakers of. And just like Peter had to make a choice to say, well, do I react to this situation based upon what I can see, the circumstances, or do I enjoy the peace of God based upon what he has said? Based upon his word. It's the same with us. You and I can choose to cling to the word of God during times of difficulty, or we can cling to our own thoughts, our own fears, our own perspective of the circumstances. And God always keeps his word. Peter knew that, and he surely did. Why? Well, we know the end of the story here in Acts chapter 12, verses 7 and 8 tells us that an angel came. It wasn't time for Peter to die. An angel came, smote Peter on the side in verse 7, told him to arise up quickly. The chains miraculously fell from his hands. The guards were unresponsive. He stood up. He followed the angel. The angel opened the gates And off he went. He was released miraculously. Now, that doesn't mean you and I will be released by an angel from every trial that we encounter. But the Lord does promise that we can have the peace of God by trusting in the promises of God, by trusting in God's promise. Let me encourage you, next time as a Christian you face a situation where you are not at peace, that's the opportunity to claim afresh the promises of God. The promises of God. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Who would like to enjoy perfect peace in a prison cell? In a prison cell situation, in a time of trial. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You see, in the prison cell trials of life, so often our mind is not on the Lord. Amen. So we don't experience perfect peace. Our mind's not on the Lord. It's just not. It's just not. We don't choose to think on the Lord, on his word. Naturally, we choose to think at what we can see. The chains, the disaster. You know, we see the circumstances. We see what we see is our predicted vision that we conjured up in our minds of how disastrous everything is going to turn out. That's what we think on, don't we? Our mind is stayed on disaster. Our mind is stayed on our feelings. Our mind is stayed on our circumstances. But how often is our mind stayed upon the Lord? Because we're trusting in him. You see, Peter was at peace because he was trusting in the promises of God. And the word of God is full of promises for the Christian. Full of promises for the Christian to be comforted by. Psalm 42 verse 5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." You see, when we experience difficulties, God hasn't gone anywhere. He doesn't love us any less. He's still present. In fact, we know that all things work together for good. So we can trust in him. We can be encouraged and have great hope. Our hope is the greatest when we're trusting in the Lord. And when we experience all the fears and all the thoughts, you know, the devil can put thoughts in our minds. He can put feelings and thoughts in our minds that everything is terrible. Everything's disastrous and God doesn't love us anymore. And everything is going to end up terribly because of what situation we are in. And then the word of God shines a light in that time of darkness. When we open it up and say, "Hang on a second. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Not persecutions, not trials, no angels, no demons can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Hang on a second. What am I worrying about? Why am I cast down when I can hope in the Lord? Now, for those of you who were able to buy the little soul winning Bible, I trust it's been more than a help when witnessing. If you've already noticed in the back, there is a index which says what to do when you feel worried, discouraged. What to do when you are in need of peace. And there are verses from the Old Testament and the New to encourage the soul winner. You see, Peter was a soul winner. And the soul winner will face persecution. The soul winner will face discouragement. So wisely, this little publishing company have put wonderful verses in here for the Christian. You know, so often I just go to these verses when I'm discouraged. What to do when you feel discouraged? Psalm 138 verse 7. "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth mine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me." What does that tell us? God is able to revive us in the midst of trouble. So often we think, "Hey, I'll do better once this trial is over. Once it's over, I can really live the Christian life." God says, "No, in the trial, in the midst of trouble, I can revive you because of who he is in our lives." You see, what we need to do is we need to cling on to the promises of God. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So often we throw our confidence out the window, don't we? Because we've stopped trusting in the Lord. We've stopped memorizing His word. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. You see, we have so many promises. So many promises. And I dare say Peter knew some of the promises of God. And he was at peace. He had peace with God. He had made peace with God, and he had the peace of God, because he was clinging on to the promises of God. Let me encourage you, brethren, to cling on to the promises of God. Whenever difficulty comes your way, what's that time for? It's time to memorize some verses, to use the sword of the Word of God to cut down those imaginations, casting down imaginations and every high thing. That's those foolish feelings we have, the thoughts that the devil gives us, or every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what the Word of God does. It brings those foolish thoughts into captivity. So often we feel so guilty and overwhelmed and so discouraged. Why? Because what we're imagining is not reality. It's just our feelings. It's our sinful flesh. We've forgotten there's a war taking place. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Why am I feeling this way? Well, you've got a sinful flesh. The old man is still knocking at the door and saying, I owe you. I own you. You need to pay me your dues. And as a Christian, we say, no, I've got a new owner. And then he keeps knocking at the door. And if we forget about the Lord that we have, and we're not spending time with Him and in His Word, we'll start to listen to the old landlord. We'll start to listen to the old man. And he continues to knock. He won't go away, by the way, until we reach eternity. He'll still be with us. And if we are not using the Word of God to cut down those foolish imaginations, you'll have very little peace in the Christian life. Very little. Consuming thoughts. We all have them at times, don't we? Perhaps you've got some right now. What will happen to Coastline Baptist Church? The Saviour of the Church is leaving. Well, that's not true. Amen? Hey, we got here only 4 years ago. 10 years. We're celebrating 10 years on Sunday. What does that mean? This is God's church. God has been faithful. Amen? Now, of course, God is not displeased when we are sorrowful. You know, it's not God's will for us not to shed a tear and not to be sad and not to miss one another. God isn't saying there's anything wrong with that. But if we despair without hope, then there is something wrong. If we despair without joy in our hearts, knowing that God is in control and He has a plan and a purpose in all things, then we need to claim the promises of the Word of God. And prayer is a part of that. Philippians chapter 4, let's close with these verses. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. The word careful means to be overloaded with care, to be worried. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. That's where the battle is. Now, hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you see, here's the remedy. If we are worried, we can stop worrying. How? Not just like that. Not just saying, hey, stop worrying. That's not a remedy. That's a good start. But the Bible goes on to say, stop worrying and instead pray. Thank the Lord. Be thankful. Start to say thank you to the Lord for the great things He's done in your life. And guess what? you stop worrying so much. You're thankful. You're prayerful. And the Bible says that God will allow you to experience the peace of God. Because as we pray, God gives us peace. As we pray, we are trusting in God. We are exercising our faith. Prayer is trusting. That's what it boils down to. Prayer is trusting. Prayer is trusting. As we trust in Him. Maybe we need to memorize these verses in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Then verse 8 tells us about whatsoever things that we should think about. Again, if our mind is not stayed on the Lord, if we're thinking on the wrong things, we won't experience the peace of God as we ought to. Whatsoever things are, what does the Bible say, verse 8? True. How often do we think of those things that are not true? They're imagined. They're not actually reality. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, brethren. And I believe Peter was fast asleep because he said, well, I know I'm saved. I know I'm following the Lord. And I know that I can trust His promises. So I'm going to go to sleep now. You guards can stay awake. I'm having a sleep. And the Lord ultimately delivers him. Brethren, we can experience peace. Peace that God desires for us to have. John 14, verse 27, the Lord said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God gives us peace, but it's only through Him. It's not a circumstantial peace. It's a spiritual peace. It's a peace with that we experience through a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace comes from the Lord as we grow in Christ. Let me encourage you, believer, to enjoy the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. It doesn't mean that you won't worry, but it means when those worries come, you'll know what to do. You'll claim the promises of God's word. You'll grow in your faith. You'll pray always. Amen. Pray without ceasing. You'll continue to be vigilant in the Christian life because you're sick and tired of being pestered by the flesh. Amen. Sick and tired of being stomped down by the devil's lies. Amen. We ought to be at times. And the Lord revives us in the midst of trouble to bring us back to Him.